Let's, like we did before, let's turn over. I want to start there this evening. Let's look at 1 John 5:14 and 15. And we made this point Sunday that when we appropriate faith, that means we possess it. We take possession of something when we appropriate it. So appropriating faith is not just believing that God can, but that He will. He will do something. So 1 John 5:14, in the King James, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him." So we're talking about faith, something that you have confidence, you have faith. "And we have in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him." And we were sharing on Sunday that God doesn't respond to just, He doesn't respond to our desires, and He doesn't respond to our needs. Man, there's a whole lot of needs going on in the world. Whole lot of needs in the body of Christ. But isn't it interesting? Now you could think about this, the woman with the issue of blood. She pressed her way through. There had to have been a lot of sick folk in that environment. There had to be. Had to be people that were infirmed. But she pressed through, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" So something activated the power of God in Jesus. What was that? Faith. And she said, "I'm going to go," and some of the scriptures say she kept saying, "If I just touch the hem of His garment, I shall be healed." And that drew the power of God out of him. And that's why the disciples say, "What do you mean, Master, who touched you? Look at all the people touching you and pushed up against you." So people were touching him. Nothing happened. And that goes on today. People believe God. They'll say, "God, He's, you know, I don't down, and I don't want to make judgment on people who write lyrics for songs, but some of the songs we sing are just plain full of unbelief. I don't want to name an artist. He's a well-known artist, and we sing his songs here. But he said, "Things are going to get better because God is in control." And I'm listening to that, and I'm going, yeah, I know He's in control, but a lot of things ain't going too good for people, and He's in control. So what's missing? Faith. And it's a catchy song, and it's, you know, you finger pop to it, and I'm not trying to down it, but I'm just saying, I'm listening to the lyrics, and I'm going, really? If God's in control, He's got things in a mess. So I'm thinking, yeah, God is in control. But there's some things that we're not going to receive from this covenant if we don't act in faith, if we don't step out and take it by faith, we don't possess it and receive it by faith. So that's what we were saying. God doesn't just respond to our desires and wishes. He responds to what? His word, His will. And I like this. This is the Barclay translation. It says, "The reason why we can approach God with complete confidence is that if we ask anything for anything that is in accordance with His will, He listens to us." Boy, I tell you, that's good news. If we know that He listens to us, whenever we ask for anything, we know that the things for which we have asked Him are already ours. So that means if I ask based on His promise, Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, then I know if I bring that before God and say, "God, I thank You. Your word says I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, that You bore my sicknesses and infirmities. I receive that now in my body. I receive the healing power of God, and I believe it's working in me." Then I've got to do that when I don't feel good. And I need to, when I pray, exactly. when I pray, when I'm releasing my words, I believe that it's done. And I'm still feeling not good. But I've got to believe it's working inside me. When I don't feel good. So we can see here that it's important that we what? Know the will of God, and that was the point for starting here. Before anyone can have steadfast faith, before they can have fixed faith, confident faith, they got to know what the will of God is. You can't just have confidence without knowing the will of God. And I believe we touched on that from last lessons on Philemon 1:6. That the communication of your faith is effectual in the acknowledging of every good and perfect thing, or everything that is in you. Now, you cannot have, let's go over to Romans 10:17 and let's look at this. I want us to look at the scriptures here tonight. So your faith and appropriating and possessing faith cannot go beyond one's knowledge of the revealed will of God. So you can't have faith for something that you know, that you don't know and hasn't been revealed to you. Can't have faith in that area. So then faith cometh by how? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the blessings of God is the result of knowing and acting on God's word. So when faith comes, I've got to do something. I've got to act. And the blessings of God are what? Activated in my life. James 2:17, even so, listen to these. These are, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith can't be alone. There's got to be an action. I like the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, thus faith by itself, unaccompanied by actions, is dead. So faith is dead if it's not acted upon. It's got to have some action. The New English Bible says, so with faith, if it does not lead to action, it is in itself lifeless. It's a lifeless thing. So the renewed mind, let's go to Romans 12:2. A renewed mind makes steadfast faith. You know what steadfast means? Something, someone who's fixed. That means you're immovable. Your heart may want to be steadfast, but until your mind's changed, you know, it's like when you get about 70 years old, you still think you're fast until you start trying to run. There's some physical limitations. So your soul could say, yeah. Oh no, your heart could say yes. But your soul, if it's not renewed to the word of God, is going to have a problem. It's going to stumble, right? Isn't that not true? Your heart may want to. You know, you get old, you say, yeah, I can do this. I can run fast. I can do this. I can. But then your soul may look at it and go, uh-uh, I can't do that. What does it say? Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So to have steadfast faith, you've got to have a renewed mind. Because that's what this is saying right here. The renewing of the mind that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. So in order to have have the position that you're going to prove something or be steadfast, what does that mean? Steadfast, I just looked up in the dictionary. It means to be firmly fixed in place, immovable, not subject to change. So if you're steadfast, you're not being moved. And that has to draw back to what? Your mind, your soul. Because you can end up being wishy-washy about something when situations come or symptoms come or whatever, conditions come. And then all of a sudden, if you're not firmly fixed on the Word of God, not only in your heart, but in your soul and your mind, then you could waver. You could. And I believe, isn't that what James said? Any man lack wisdom, ask of God, who give liberally. But he said, but if you ask, what? He said, don't be like the wave of the sea, tossed hither and yon, or tis tossed back and forth. So how do you get tossed around? You're not steadfast. That means your soul hasn't been renewed to the place where I'm not moving. I'm not moving off of this unless God tells me to. I'm not budging. And that's the way we have to be concerning the Word of God. Listen to this scripture. We're talking about being steadfast. You can write it down or jump over there. Psalm 57:7 and Psalm 112 verse 7. It says, 57:7 says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. My heart is fixed. Listen to this. This is Psalm 112:7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So when evil tidings come, if your heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, you're not going to be moved by it. And that's going to take us thinking about, meditating about, keeping our eyes on the Word of God, keeping it in our heart, listening to it. I heard Brother Copeland say this recently. I was just watching, just quickly, you know, I was watching something. They were doing something live from Washington, D.C., and he was sharing, he was making a comment. He said, he was talking, again, believers' convention, he's talking to believers. And he said, you need to be listening every day to a faith-filled message. And I thought, yeah. Absolutely. We eat three meals, or some of us maybe should eat two, but or one, but sometimes we don't even eat the Word of God. So you know what I mean? That somebody said we eat three meals a day, but we have one cold snack of the Word. So it's keeping that in our heart, listening to the Word of God. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you just interrupt your whole day. But if you've got time, you're traveling, put it in the car. Listen to it. You're getting up in the morning, you got time. Some folks got the TV blaring and all of this stuff going on and news and all of this. Put a disc in. Put something on that feeds your spirit while you're getting up in the morning or you're going to bed or whatever. Amen. I do. I mean, I just have made it up in my mind that I'm going to feed on the Word, feed on the Word, feed on the Word. Keep feeding on it. Keep feeding on it. Keep feeding on it. Morning, noon, and night. Amen. Amen. Find time to do it. Now, think about this. This is Abraham, right? This is in Romans. Romans chapter 4. We're talking about being steadfast, being steadfast in your faith, being fixed. And he said, this is starting in Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope, what did he do? He believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according what? To that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be, in verse 19, and being not what? Weak in faith, he considered not his own body dead, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did what? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, what? In faith, giving glory to God, and being fully what? Persuaded. I tell you, that's being fixed. That's being fixed, being fully persuaded what he had promised. He was able also to perform. Just reading some scriptures that we pulled out. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we need to be fixed, steadfast in those things that we've received and they're in our hearts. We need to not budge. We need to be immovable. Well, I'll tell you, don't let the devil, and I'm going to, let's turn over here. I want us to look at this account here, excuse me, in Luke chapter 8. Excuse me. Excuse me. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 9. This is the parable of the sower. It's locked. We can't get in here. I've been locked out of better places. No. That's good. It's just a little dry in here tonight. Too much heat in here. Ugh. I'm telling you. I'm serious. It's hot in here. 99. It's hot. See the sweat beads rolling off my face. They're now over my glasses. It is hot in here. Anyways, but Luke chapter 8, and this is the disciples now are saying, you know, he gave the parable of the sower, but then he kind of gave it in a parable. So they're now saying, his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And verse 10, and he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. This is what I was getting at. The seed, we're talking about seed being planted to produce a harvest. What is the seed? The seed is the word of God. Verse 12, those by the wayside are they that do what? Hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word of God, or the word, out of their hearts, lest, why? They should believe and be saved. So he snatches the seed before it even gets or to the place of producing. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. For a while they do what? They believe, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. So temptation, people can be tempted to give up in sickness. Again, just said, you know what? It's too much for me. I've had enough. And so people can give up in those situations. And then verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. So they're hearing it, they're attending to it, they keep it, and it does what? It brings forth fruit with patience. I need a tissue. Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. I didn't want to use my sleeve. I wanted to be couth. Amen. So the Word of God is the seed. And so until a person is certain that it is God's will to heal them, they're trying to reap a harvest where there's no seed planted. So you've got to have seed planted in order to have a harvest. And that means a harvest of finances, means a harvest of healing. You've got to have the seed in the ground. Then it's got to be attended to. It's got to be watered. So it's impossible for a farmer to have faith for a harvest, what we were saying before, until he's sure the seed has been planted. So harvest, when a farmer goes out, they till the ground, they plant the seed, then he can expect a harvest. But until that farmer is convinced or assured that the seed's been planted, he can't expect a harvest. Neither can we. We have to be what? Confident that seed's been planted. And this is why so often you hear different teachers that have gone on before us and some that are alive say, E.W. Kenyon shared, that there's a difference between someone who mentally assents to the word and somebody who knows that it's real, that it's in me, it's working in me, and not, well, yeah, I believe the word, but then they don't act on it. So they've mentally assented to it. They're just parroting the word. But somebody who knows that it's been received, it's in me working, they're going to act on it, regardless of conditions. And this is what Jesus said, and you shall what? Know the truth, and the truth, the seed, will set you free. The truth of the word will set you free. So freedom from sickness comes from knowing the truth. When you know the truth, you're set free. And you can be set free from something. When you know you're healed, you can still have symptoms and know I'm free. I'm free from this. I'm not bound by this sickness anymore. And I begin to respond accordingly. You see? So that's what we're talking about, freedom from sickness. Somebody can be free, or somebody can be entrapped in what? Their thinking. Who was it that was here years ago? Bob Gass. He said, you know, you had the bear that did the 12-foot shuffle. They took they kept them in a cage, and he did the 12-foot shuffle. When they took the cage off, he was still bound. He's still shuffling around within the cage, confines, even though the cage was removed. So some of us can, I'm not saying us, but I'm saying in general, some of us can still be not free because the truth, the seed of the word, hasn't set us free yet. So when we're free, doesn't matter whether there's symptoms or conditions, I'm free from it. That's the word. The truth shall set you free. So God does nothing without his word. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So it's the word of God planted, watered, and steadfastly trusted. That means I'm immovable. I'm trusting the word of God to work in my life, and I'm immovable from that. That is what works. That's what will work. And that heals both the soul and the body. So the seed is powerless unless it's planted. Seed can just sit there. It's powerless unless it's planted. So God's promises are at work in us. So they will work in us after we believe and receive or act on God's eternal promises. Now listen, these are exciting scriptures because I'm just leading to something here. Let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. God's word is so exciting. I I know Pastor Clinton used to say it. He said, God's word is like a multifaceted diamond. You can look at one scripture and look at it in one context and look at it in another, and you just see another whole facet of the word. Jeremiah 1:12 said, Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will what? Hasten my word to perform it. He will hasten his word to perform it. Listen to some of these other translations. This is the Amplified. It says, For I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. Oh, boy, that's so exciting to me. He's watching over his word. Never think, I don't know, maybe. No, he's watching over his word to do perform it. Listen to the Beck translation. I'm watching over my word to make it come true. Ooh, boy. He's watching over his word to make it come true. Listen to this one. This is the J.M. Smith translation. It says, I am watching over my word to put it into effect. Oh, boy. Every time you got a symptom, something going on, you say, no, God's watching over his word to make it come to pass. He's working it in my life. That's why, when you look at this scripture, this is why you can say, the word that I've heard is working in me mightily. So, we just think, oh, that's a catchy little phrase. No, there's scripture to back that up. God's word received is working in me, and God's causing it to come to pass. He's working in me to strengthen me. He's working in me to give me peace of mind. He's working in me to cause finances to come into my being. He's working in me to cause my body to walk in divine health. He's working in me, and his word is working in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's go over to Proverbs chapter 4. We looked at this a lesson ago, but I want to look at it again. Proverbs 4, verses 20. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20. I got frisky with my Bible here. It's got a, looks like a, it's like I shot it. It's got a hole in the page. Man. Okay. I was seeing double there, but it was reading verses from the other page. Okay. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all thy flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. These are some scriptures here. The contemporary English version of verse 22, it says, Knowing these teachings will mean true life and good health for you. The easy-to-read version, it says in verse 22, These words are the secret of life and health to all who discover them. And the Knox translation, it says, Let a man master them, they will bring life and healing to his whole being. So we've got to attend to his words, incline your ear unto his sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of this heart, For when we do, they are life and health to all my flesh. So when you think about this, life and health to my flesh doesn't come first. It comes after I attend to his words, after I incline my ear unto his sayings, after I keep them in the midst of thine heart. Then they're life and health to those that what? Find them. So you've got to attend to it. You've got to spend some time. That's what we were saying. This is not just some boop, and it's done. No, I've got to attend to the word. I've got to take time. That's why I like what Brother Copeland said. Get some faith message, whatever it is, whoever it is. Put it in and listen to it. Listen to it over and over and over till what? Faith comes. Keep feeding your faith. And when you do, then that's when life and health comes. Amen. So God's word becomes health to all of our flesh. Sickness, when it does, then sickness and disease will be gone. It has to. Because what happens? The seed gets planted, and what has happened? God watches over his word to do, to perform it, and it what? It drives sickness and disease out. It drives things out of our body that may have held on for a while. And that was what we were sharing on Sunday, is that sometimes we're looking for something instant. We want it fixed right now. But we shared, how did the 10 lepers, it said, as they went, they were healed. And you have other scripture that support that, that as we feed upon the word of God, God's word will cause our bodies to restore. As it says, when we lay hands on the sick, they shall instantly be healed. No, it says they shall recover. So our bodies will recover from whatever it is, but we've got to keep speaking the word of God, keep feeding it. So you can see here, this is how we obtain the results, is what we are saying here. There must be an attentive ear. There must be a steadfast look. Let them not depart from thine eyes. What does that mean, a steadfast look? I'm immovable. I'm looking at that. I can't look at the word of God. What does that mean? Fixed and attentive to that, and fixed and attentive on my symptoms. I can't fix my gaze on both. I've got to look at one or the other. One is going to take my attention, and it's supposed to be the word of God. There must be, this says here, a heart that says, keep them in the midst of thine heart. So when our eyes are upon our symptoms and your mind is occupied with them more than with the word of God, you have in the ground the wrong kind of seed. What are you doing? You're planting the seed, you're thinking about it, you're meditating about it, and the more you think about it, meditate on it, you do what? You start talking about it. And you begin to create a condition where you start planting the wrong kind of seed in your heart. And that's by speaking. So we've got to keep the word of God before us. Let's go over to Psalm 119:50. Psalm 119:50. I love Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 50. When you get there, say amen. Amen. It says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Oh, boy. That's so good. Listen to the Message translation. These words hold me up in bad times. Yes, your promises rejuvenate me. Oh. Your words hold me up in bad times. Not just sickness, all bad times that come our way. Your word holds me up, and they rejuvenate me. The New Living Translation, it says, your promise revives me. It comforts me in all my troubles. Your word does. It's the seed of the word. That's why when it said, what did it say over there about the sower? It said, when they fall on the rock, it says, they which hear them and receive the word with joy, these have no root for a while, they believe, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. No, you've got to stay fixed with the word of God. The word of God upholds me in bad times, and your promises rejuvenate me. Listen to the Amplified. Your word has revived me and given me life. Glory to God. That's what Jesus said. My words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. That word life is Zoe. The word of God is Zoe. Now let's turn over. I want to just finish with this. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. I didn't get to share this on Sunday, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. First Thessalonians chapter 2, it says in verse 13, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." What's the word of God? It's the seed, "which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You received the word of God, not from men or men's ideas, but you received it as the word of God, which what? Effectually works in you that believe. So you've got to receive the word, and you've got to believe that it's working in me. Hallelujah. Listen to the Bible in basic English. It says, "For this cause we still give praise to God, that when the word came to your ears through us, you took it not as the word of man, but as it truly is, the word of God, which has living power in you who have faith." Ooh. So when you receive the word of God, it has living power in you who have faith. And what is faith? Faith is being confident that you know the will of God, you've asked God for something that he promised, and he hears you. And if I know that he hears me, I have it. I have the petition that I've desired of him. So I receive the promise of God. And what does it say? It says, "It has living power in me who have faith." Boy, that's exciting to me. The Good News Translation, it says, "And there is another reason why we always give thanks to God. When we brought you God's message, you heard it and accepted it, not as a message from human beings, but as God's message, which indeed it is. For God is at work in you who believe." God is working in me because I believe. Boy, that's exciting to me. New Living Translation. "Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God," which of course it is. "And this word continues to work in you who believe." That sounds like the woman with the issue of blood. She heard of Jesus, and she continued to say, "If I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." So the word was working in her, and when she touched him, power was released. So the power of God began to work in her. I tell you, isn't that good news? That's good news to me. So the word of God benefits us when we have what? We're attending to it, we're inclining our ears to it, We're letting it not depart from our eyes. We're keeping it in the midst of our heart. We receive it as the word of God. And when we do, it becomes for us. This is what it said, every word of God. So when we receive and obey the word of God, what does that mean? I've received it and act on it. It is not just the word of God, it becomes the power of God. And that's just exactly what it said. The word of God, which has living power in you who have faith. Hallelujah. But we're to do what? Be immovable, steadfast, fixed on the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's it. Hope you got something out of that. Stir your heart a little bit. Don't let circumstances sway you. They're going to come. We're to do what we're supposed to do. Receive the word of God as living and alive. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's alive in us. It's working in us. We thank you that it's correcting and adjusting and driving sickness out of our bodies, weakness out of our bodies, symptoms out of our bodies. And we thank you that we're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We thank you that the word of God is in us and working in us. The seed is working in us. And we thank you, Father, that the watering of it tonight strengthens and releases the power of God in us and strengthens our very bodies and quickens us in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you this evening for the hearers. We thank you that they'll not only be hearers of the word, but doers thereof in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.